How's that?
Is Mars on?
Let me see what's going on here.
Okay, so
based on Chaim's suggestion, I looked into the Our Gemara, you know, the first part, that I think he's right, is that the first case, the way Rashi's learning it, is that the first case in Our Gemara is a case where you throw a ball at someone, you throw a rock, let's say, at someone in order to kill him, and it doesn't hit him directly, but it goes into the wall and then kills him off the wall. But you didn't mean to throw it off the wall. You meant to just throw it at him, and it bounces off the wall and kills him, so it's your chayiv, because that's your kocha. In other words, you didn't actually throw a rock at him. Now, it happened to be it hit him off the wall, but that's still part of your koach, and therefore you're still chayiv for that. That's suicide, but you're intentionally throwing the ball off the wall to ricochet and kill him. Okay, that's the brisa. And it says your chayiv there. Your chayiv galus if it's by accident, shugig, and your chayiv amisa if it's amazing. So what's it called? So the thing is like this. So the Gemara says, it says, oh, it's pshita. Why would you think you're not chayiv when you throw a ricochet off the wall? The Gemara says, oh, because it's hashtar safek. Right? Because it's hashtar safek, you may think it's hashtar safek, because you're going to have to warn him that if you throw it and it bounces off the wall and hits him, then it'll be chayiv. Maybe it's not going to come off the wall. Come on, shmo on, that's not hashtar safek. Fine. So the Marshal asks, it says, how do you know that the Chiddush is Hashra Safek? Maybe it's coming to teach you, the Rice is coming to teach you that's the finest Kocho. Right? That's the finest Kocho. That throwing off a wall counts as Kocho. How do you know the Chiddush is because Hashra Safek is into the Hashra Safek? When you say straight, that counts as your Kach, your power, and therefore, when you throw off a wall, you're going to be Chayiv for it. Are you following me?
Yeah.
So the Mashar says that no, it must be that the Gemara is holding is that if the whole Kiddush was to teach you that Kochal throwing it off the wall is considered Kochal, then it should have picked a normal case where you throw the ball at a guy and it happens to bounce off the wall and kill him, like the case which Rava has. But why did Bryce pick this funny case of people who are playing ball and throwing it against the wall? It's just like a funny case. They're trying to kill him by purposely throwing it off a wall. That's like a really strange way to kill a guy. So indirectly. So he says, the fact that the Brisa picks this strange case, it must be to teach you the Hashra Safek Chiddush. Because only in that case, where he's intentionally trying to throw it off the wall, then he says, well, maybe it's not going to come off the wall. Then it's Hashra Safek. But then you may say it's Hashra Safek. But in the case where the guy is trying to throw it at the guy directly, that's not Hashra Safek. You say, hey, listen, don't throw the ball at him, because you're going to be Chayav Misa. And he threw it at him, and it bounced below Yechayev. So that's what he says, is that you see from the Brisa, the fact that the Brisa picks the case of playing the suicide, he intentionally threw it off a wall, that's teaching that it's talking about Hashra Safek. But the first case isn't talking about the way you intentionally throw off a wall, it's just talking about where you throw it, you're trying to throw him straight, and it ends up bouncing off a wall. But since throwing it off a wall is considered kocho, it doesn't matter that you were. Well, who cares whether... It doesn't matter the trajectory, that you thought you were trying to throw it straight, and it turns out the trajectory was straight and then off the wall. It doesn't matter. Like, if you try to throw it at a 45-degree angle and a 60-degree angle, whatever. You try to throw it at him, and you gave your kolach, you threw the ball, and it ended up hitting him and killing him. So it doesn't matter the fact that you were assuming that's defined as kocho. So then it doesn't matter that you were trying to throw it off the wall, you weren't trying to throw it off the wall. Problem is, you were trying to throw it at him and hit him and it killed him. So that is interesting. I mean, that's what Chaim knows. It's interesting that's true. It doesn't matter whether you intended to throw off the wall or didn't intend to throw off the wall. But that, I think, essentially boils down to whether or not that's defined as kocho. And the Gemara later, I mean, well, hopefully we'll get to that. Not now, but the Gemara has a question whether that's defined as kocho or not. Gemara is not sure. How do you know? Maybe that's not defined as kocho, because in killing, I mean, we don't even know. I'm just talking loosely here, but what's the whole point of kocho? Who cares about kocho? But the Gemara later gets into the question is that really kocho? Is that really your power of killing when you throw it off a wall? So I think we should hold off the analysis of that issue later, because the Gemara openly takes up why that is or is not kocho. Okay, so that's, I'm just going to go off a point Chaya mentioned. That, I mean, I think he's right in reading it there, the two different cases, but I don't think it's that consequential for this discussion. Okay, we good? Okay.
Yeah.
Morris is on now?
Yeah, Hal and Morris are on.
Okay, good. Okay, so back to our question. So, our question is philosophic. Right, the basic question is if you warn a guy that if you do this action and then you end up not being able to correct it, or then you end up whatever, so then you're going to get malchus. So it's a hasra, but it has a suffix attached to it because it's maybe. There's a maybe clause in it. So the question is that considered a hasra or is that not considered a hasra? So that's a machlokas between a real and a real slakish. So does anyone have a hasra for...
Refeder.
For that? If I look there, make a god then add there. If I eat this small roll, a small piece of bread, then I nether that I'm not going to eat this big piece of bread. Okay, follow so far. And if I eat the small one, then I'm never going to eat this big one. So then, let's say the guy eats the big one first. Now, he eats the big one first, is that an answer? So it depends. If he ends up later eating the small one, and then it turns out that the big one is answer. If he doesn't eat the small one later, then it turns out the big one is fine. So they, when he eats the big one, if they warn him, they say, listen, don't eat this big one, because if you eat the big one, and then you end up eating the small one or the different belt later, then you're going to get a malchus. And he says, I'm full picking, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. So that's a machlokas. That's a sort of thing, that's a machlokas. Does that count as a sort or doesn't count as a sort? Good?
Yeah.
Okay, so the question is, what's the sara of whether or not hasra suffix should or should not be considered hasra, a valid hasra? Okay, does anyone have any ideas? Is that a no?
I think the silence is a no.
Okay. Make sure no one's trying to communicate them by text message or something.
Yeah, no, nobody's typing anything.
Okay, so, something like this is as follows. That hasra, as we set out, we mentioned yesterday, but we discussed this far before, earlier in the year, is that hasra is lavka mejog lemezid, which means to differentiate that the guy is really amazed. And we said is amazed, it doesn't just mean that he knows the halacha, but it means that he's like aware of the halacha at the time that he's doing the crime, and he's doing it anyways. That's why it's like afal pikein. He has to accept the hasra. You want him, he says, I don't care, I'm doing it anyways. It's like he's like a certain flagrance of a violation. That's amazed. That's the idea of amazed. Amazed is not just malchus, it's not just for a guy. Rabbi Yossi Reed all argues with this, but the Chum all that, malchus immediately, onus is for a guy who does a sin, amazed it means like a flagrance involved in the sin. He's deciding to do it, even though he knows it's in his face that it's Osir, they warn him, they say, listen, this is Osir, you better not do this, otherwise we're going to kill you, we're going to whip you. He says, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. There's a certain type of a violation, and the Asra is that which renders it that type of violation. And that's why he has to accept the Asra. Kabbalah Asra, he has to accept it and say, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. It's, so to speak, what they call Hiter Atzma L'Misa. He permits himself, he allows himself to get the death penalty. Like he basically waives his right to live. He says, okay, I don't care. Kill me, do what I'm doing, anyway. And that's necessary in Hasra. Because the idea of Hasra, the whole system of Hasra, the whole form, they have to accept it, and it has to be mamish, it has to be tokeh dibor within seconds of the warning that he does the crime. Make sure that it has that character. He can't say, oh, I forgot, it's not on my mind anymore. The whole system of Hasra creates a certain type of a flagrance, called a rebelliousness in the sinner, for which we punish him. Okay, so far so good? So on the basic level, so I'm just going to say the question, I mean, we'll define it maybe a little better soon, but the basic question is do you say that the quality of suffix, the fact that it's Hasra suffix, undermines that flagrance? in the crime. Because the warning is going to be, don't do this, because if you do this, then maybe you're going to get Malchus. And he says, oh, I don't care. But in the back of his mind, there's a maybe. The maybe, you could argue, it mitigates the quality of the flagrance in the Avera. The whole idea of Asra is it's rendering it a certain type of a violation, where the guy is totally flagrant, lack of, you know, he doesn't care about the system. But here, once there's a built-in suffix, as they said, it's lo shema Asra. It's not considered Asra. Because the idea, the whole concept of Asra is it's making sure, it's bringing about a certain type of a sinner, of a mezid, and the suffix itself is like a type of disaster, it's a contradiction, it undermines, it's antithetical to the whole nature of what Asra is. So Asra can't have a maybe in it. Once there's a maybe, it undermines the quality, the status of Asra. So they said it's not Shema Asra. Not even considered Asra, because that's the whole idea of Asra. It makes him some type of sinner. But it's not doing it. You following me so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other side, so here's what's Machlokas. I mean, I was at an outline form of Machlokas. It does, again, this is I'll take it a little further, but the main idea is, does the Shem Safek contradict the Shem Asra? Like, are those contradictory? That's the question. Is Asra suffix Shema Asra or Lo Shema Asra? Means, like, the bottom line is, you are giving the guy Asra. In form, you're giving him Asra. He's accepting the Asra. He's saying, Afal Pekin, I don't care. I'm doing it anyways. I'm aware that you're going to end up killing me. So he says, look, in form, everything is in place. And logically, what renders him the Avaya on this type of sinner. That is the institutional Asra. The fact that he's being warned and saying, I'm a beacon. So you say, look, you have that here. So it's true, it's something. But that's what you're warning him. You're saying that if you do this, and if you end up doing so and so later, you're going to get killed or whatever. And he says, I understand that. And I'm doing it anyways. I don't really care. So once you have him saying that, so therefore there's no, but the Asra, with the quality of Safeg, lacks in the status of the Gavra. It lacks in the attitude of the Gavra, of the flagrance of the Gavra, in the sin. So it's not enough just to technically have the institution of Asra, but the Asra must be done in a manner which really is in line with that type of a Gavra. And once you have the Safeg there, then that undermines the Shem Asra.
Rafeda?
Yes. He's just saying, look, Asra means is that that there's a crime, that there's two kinds of crimes. There's a crime where the guy is not really aware of what he's doing, where he's not really thinking about what he's doing, he's not really thinking about the consequences, and that's not Mazen. And then there's a crime where you really lay out in front of the guy exactly the consequences, you spell out the terms of the deal here, and he says, I don't care, and I'm fully accepting of the terms of the thing, and I'm deciding to do it anyway. That's the concept of Asra. So therefore, he'll say, yeah, then you're also. But sometimes the Asra is going to be vada. If you do this thing, you're definitely going to get whipped. And you're saying, if you do this thing, and then you do X, Y, Z in the future, then you're definitely going to get whipped. So then he's saying, he accepts those terms. So the nature of the violation is still has the character that the guy is fully aware, fully not knowing the consequences, and he accepts the consequences. So he says that what renders him this type of a gavra, renders him amazed, is the kabbalah asra itself. So it's looking at asra itself, like asra zabe, whatever it is, but bottom line is he's in the kabbal. He accepts the terms of asra, and he does it despite the asra. So the simple level, look, if it is asra, he has kabbalah asra, all the lucky ingredients of asra are there. The other guy is arguing back, though, is that it's true, but once it has the quality of suffix to it, that undermines the rally set.
So you're saying that Hasra as an institution is always subject to, like, the maybe factor. So given that that's the case, irrespective of whether Misofik or not, you should be chayev.
Not exactly, because normally there's no maybe, really. Normally, just if you do this thing, don't do this thing, because doing this will get you killed. So then there's not really a maybe factor. But I'm saying the idea of the it's only by sort of something that you really have the maybe. But it's just that the nature of Asura is that the concept of Asura is not a vajai. The concept of Asura intrinsically is that the terms are clearly laid out in front of him, and he's doing it anyway.
Okay.
And it's not clearly laid out in front of him. But Rabbi Yochanan, whoever it holds, that it's true that your terms are laid out in front of him, but the point of the thing is to create a certain type of gavra, and that gavra is undermined once it has a status of suffix. I mean, what I'm saying is like it's an intuitive question about the whether or not. I mean, that's something that it boils down to. Is does the shame suffix? I mean, look, suffix definitely. You know, you could argue that it lacks in his rebelliousness, but it doesn't mean that that's sufficient to undermine the shame asra. I mean, look, you can have different levels of rebelliousness. I mean, a lot of different levels. The more guys suffix, the more or less rebellious. But the question is, does the shame suffix simply undermine the shame asra altogether and render it worthless? But you say, look, it's true. I understand that it's suffix, and the guy could. Maybe not as rebellious as the guy's vaday, but bottom line is, halachically, once you have the kavanas asura, then he's defined as the fun of Zayton. I mean, that's the way they say it. Is it shema asura or is it not shema asura? Does the shem suffix contradict the shem asura? I mean, I understand. It's not so tight, but I will see. Maybe later. I mean, I think maybe later we'll see in the Rambam that perhaps. The machlokas isn't so simple. Maybe we'll be able to make it better. But I mean, I'm kind of saying that there's an intuitive sense that you have to define what the question is about. Why exactly one guy is saying it does or doesn't contradict the shame asra? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you have to explain that. I mean, you have to ask them. But I mean, there certainly is a quantitative diminution in the rebelliousness. When you have this, but that doesn't necessarily mean it undermines the shame asura. Bottom line is, it's still asura. You're still winning the guy, still Kabbalah, still not fucking kid. You follow me, Danny? Is that up or no?
Yeah, it does. Now it's done.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, is there any other question? Firstly, he doesn't explain that in Hilfash. He doesn't say anything about that it's only CSO Association Mossra when the lava is in the forest. And he just says, this is a straight case, the lava is in the forest, he says, Association Mossra. And anyways, what does he even mean? That the lava, where does he get it from? What does he mean the lava is in the forest in the Torah? It does say you can't take a false rula. Right, and the lava on the Shoshav, in fact, the Rav himself has the case with the two rolls, where you say eat the big roll and like the small roll, that's the case of Marsha Safik and the Rav says, Yechayev. So even apparently the Rav of Shoshav, he did say so Safik Shmasra by this Rav. So therefore, what does he mean that you don't say, that you don't say it unless Rav is the first in the Torah? Apparently, that's the same exact Rav, Shoshav, so what do you mean it's not the first in the Torah? Right, I mean, is it or is it not? And like Kavach says, whoever heard of a law, that's on first in the Torah. Every law, you have to be first in the Torah. You can't give a guy a malchus unless it's an open as an asara in the pasuk. So there's asaras in the pasuk and the Torah for everything. Every law has asara. So altogether, it's hard to understand what's what I'm talking about. Where did he come up with this thing? And what's the conceptual? Who cares? I mean, that's what's a shmasra or a low shmasra. Who cares whether it's in first in the Torah or not? What does that have anything to do with it? Right, did everyone follow the questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anyone have an idea? Okay, so I was thinking as follows. I was thinking like this, that when the, you have to see when the Rambam says, see, the Rambam says like this, is that, here's the way that the Rambam's learning, is that, that the reason, see, the problem with Asra Safik, is, that let's say you're going to say to the guy, don't make this nether, because if you make this nether, right, if you make this nether, and then somebody eats this bread, right, and then someone eats this bread, so then you're gonna get malchus. So they'll always say, I thought he wasn't gonna eat the bread. Look, I was relying on the fact that, look, I was rationalizing or whatever, and I was thinking that it was never gonna happen. So therefore, that's why it lacks in the religiousness, because I'll say, the Torah says, don't do Shavuot Shav. Yeah, but this isn't what the Torah meant by Shavuot Shav. Shavuot Shav is what I really making Shavuot Shav. This thing, this isn't what the Torah was after. It's just like a kind of an escape that the guy could always say, I thought, since it's Safik, I'll say the Torah was warning about a case where it's really a Vadai. But this is not what the Torah meant. The Torah's warning was about a case where it's definitely Shoshav, and definitely doing an action, which is definitely a violation. This is the fact that it's a maybe, the guy can kind of feel like he doesn't come under the, he's not really going against the Torah, he's not really rebelling against the Torah. Because the Torah, because it's maybe it is, maybe it isn't, so the action which he does lacks the rebelliousness. It lacks the flagrancy, because the action may or may not be against the Torah. Okay, so far so good?
Yeah.
Okay. But now the problem is like this, is let's say stealing. So it said don't steal, and if you steal, then you better return it. Okay? If you steal, then you better return it. And the premise is like that you're getting malchus, right? You'd only get malchus. It's like, imagine like the Torah says, I mean, it's principle, though. Whenever Torah says a lav, it means don't do this thing, otherwise you're going to get malchus. Okay, so let's say the Torah openly said, don't steal, and if you steal, then you better return it, otherwise you're going to get malchus. Because again, every lav is don't do this thing, otherwise you'll get malchus. I mean, Torah doesn't say those words every single time, but that's implicit. And here, when it's Nitzak Asrei, the Torah saying is don't steal, but not if you steal again, Malchus, but don't steal, because if you steal and you don't return it, right, then you're going to get Malchus. So the Torah is making the lav contingent upon your ability, you know, giving it the ability to restore it, to fix it. It's Nitzak, the ability to fix it. But basically, when the guy steals, steals. So unless every time you steal, there's always the thing is maybe I'll return it, maybe I'll return it. Maybe I'll be able to return it, maybe I'll be able to return it. So the thing is like this, is that the guy, when the guy steals, he can't say, if you want him, say, don't steal, because if you steal now and then you don't return it, then you're going to get Malchus. So he'll say, oh, maybe I'll get Malchus. Well, that's what he's going to say. So for sake, you're just saying is don't steal, because maybe I'm going to get Malchus. Yeah, but the answer is no, but the maybe isn't a maybe. The Torah knows about the maybe. The Torah itself is given in a situation, it has a suffix built into it. It's saying is, don't steal, because if you steal and then you end up not returning it, then you're getting a Malchus. So it's like implicit in the Mefurash Torah is the fact that there could be a suffix here, that there's going to be a suffix here, because the whole law of stealing automatically brings into play the returning and the possibility that maybe he will or maybe he won't return it. So you can't say that you were doing stealing not the way the Torah meant it. Whereas the idea of suffix is, oh, that's not what the Torah meant. The Torah meant Vadai. So it didn't mean suffix. But once the very law itself always will have the fact that you could return it and that the real completion of your violation is on your inability or non-returning it. So every time you steal, the Torah, when the Torah said don't steal, intrinsic in that answer was the fact that it's a suffix, that the moment that you steal, it's suffix whether or not you're going to realize the crime or not realize the crime. Whether you're going to return it and not realize the crime or keep it and realize the crime. So therefore, so since it's like intrinsic in the very prohibition in the Torah that there's suffix in the thing, so therefore, you can't say it lacks in my rebelliousness because, oh, I was suffix. Because the reason why suffix lacks in rebelliousness is because that distances you from what the Torah was really warning against. You could rationalize it and say, oh, that's not the Torah was talking about. The Torah was talking about a real case, a real actual crime. But this is only maybe. But if it's mefurish in the Torah, that is always a case where it's going to be suffix. Every time it's nitzik l'asay, it's always going to be that the real violation of the law is contingent, is hanging based upon whether or not he does not say or not. Whether or not he does not say. So that's the case. So it's intrinsic in the very formulation of the law that there's going to be something involved here. So therefore, you don't say it lacks in his rebelliousness, in the Gavra. The reason why it lacks, according to the Shita, is the reason why something lacks is not because, and that's the Machlokas. What I don't know the Machlokas is, do you say that intrinsically the something lacks in his rebelliousness? Intrinsically something lacks in his rebelliousness? So then I don't care whether it's enforced in the crowd or whatever. Or do you say, no, the reason why something lacks rebelliousness is because something distances you from what the Torah was really talking about. The guy will say, that's not what the Torah meant. The Torah was talking about a Vaday case. But if it's your first in the Quran, that it's Baal Safek, which means that every time you violate the law, it's always hanging whether or not you really fully violate the law, hanging based upon whether or not you've corrected or not. So that's the nature of what the Torah is warning against. It's the hanging law. That's the nature of the law. So then you can't say anymore that, rationalize and say that's not what the Torah was going for. That doesn't take away that from the Gavra's rebelliousness. Because he's going against exactly what the Torah said. Aye, it sounds like fine. That is the way the Torah was given this law, that it's nothing. Are you following me? I'm not sure. Am I making myself clear? Maybe a question will help.
Question?
Yeah, question? Oh. Are you following me? Are you not following me? Should I repeat it? I don't see your faces. It's very hard to tell whether or not I'm clear.
Can you repeat it again?
Yes. Okay, so what I'm saying is that the real according to the Rambam, the reason why Hasra Safek is not Hasra is not because of the Safek per se. Not just because it's Safek. The reason why is because the Safek, the Torah, when the Torah wrote Yisurim, it means don't do this action because this action is definitely a Maisavera. Definitely the answer. And when you do it as a Safek, so then you're removed from what the Torah was warning against. But you can always say, oh, the Torah wasn't talking about this. The Torah was talking about an action, which is definitely an action of Esther. Like a Shur, whatever. This is maybe, it's hanging. The very status of Esther is a hanging status, and therefore it lacks in your rebelliousness against the Torah because you are not what the Torah was talking about. The Torah was talking about Avada, and you're talking about Asada. You're doing a Safek. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay. But what Rav Nitzaglan say, which means where the Torah says don't do this thing, and if you do it, you better correct it, otherwise you're going to be in big trouble. But that's what I'm saying. It's don't do this thing, but it's not like just don't do it. It says if you do it, correct it. So it means the real violation comes when you don't correct it. Okay, that's the nature of the thing. It says don't do this thing, but it's okay if you do it. It's not okay, but if you do it, better correct it. So the full violation comes when you do it and don't correct it. So every single time that you do the thing, you do the action of the lav, the full violation is pending a realization, whether you're not doing the asay. So when the Torah warns against these lavim, a lav in the tikkun asay, it's implicit in with the Torah's warning that there is suffix involved in the situation, that there's a maybe. That maybe he will come and realize the real lie, or maybe he won't realize it. Maybe he'll do the same, maybe he won't do the same. So therefore, it doesn't lack in your rebelliousness because you are, it's of course the Torah, the law of itself, and it intrinsically has something at that built in. But.
So since there's something built into the nature of the mitzvah, we're not kosher for that.
Yeah, since it's built in, you can't say that it lacks in my rebelliousness against the Torah because I was only Safek. Because that is what the Torah set up. The Torah set up a lav which has Safek built into it. So you can't say that I lack in my rebelliousness against the Torah because I was Safek. The Torah is Safek. That's what the Torah is talking about. The Torah is telling you, don't do this thing in Safek because if you do this thing in Safek, and you end up not doing that thing, and you get Malkus. So what are you going to say? Well, I'm doing it differently than the Torah meant. No, you're not doing it differently. That is the way the Torah said it. The Torah, it's the force in the Torah that there is something built into it. It's contingent upon your non-fulfilling the say. But in a different law, where the Torah is not in the Torah, say, where the Torah wrote the law straight away, like don't do Shua Sheker, and you're doing an action which may or may not be Shua Sheker, the guy will say, well, that's not what the Torah meant. Torah meant in Esther where it's really directly Shua Sheker. This action is may or may not be Shua Sheker. So a guy will rationalize. That's not what the Torah was after. So it lacks in rebelliousness. But you can't say that if the Torah is mefurish in the Torah that it's the case of Safek.
Right.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is the Machorkas, according to the Rambam, is about a Asra Safek. The Rambam's learning is that everyone holds, in a regular case of a Asra Safek, the case of Shvua, that's definitely not Asra. No, that's why even though the Rambam says Asra Safek is Asra, in the case of Shvua, he says it's not. Because that's a real Safek. That's what the Torah didn't mean the Safek, and you're just doing a Safek. That's definitely not Asra. The Machlokes is, why is it not Asra? Is it not Asra because when it's Safek, that's not what the Torah was after? And if that's the case, then if the Torah is intrinsically Safek, then it is going to be Asra, even though it's Safek? Or do you say that intrinsically Safek lacks in rebelliousness? Not just because it's not what the Torah meant, but intrinsically, when there's Safek there, that lacks in the flagrance, and that's not Asra. So then if it's intrinsic, the same suffix intrinsically undermines Asra, so then it doesn't matter whether the Torah wrote it that way or didn't write it that way. The point is, you can't ever have Asra, I can't have Asra if it's suffix. But if you say that there's nothing intrinsic about suffix which makes it not Asra, but it's only because the idea is when it's suffix, that's not what the Torah meant, then if it's Mefarshim the Torah, then it is what the Torah meant. That it is the Torah's case is always suffix, so then you don't say it lacks in Asra. So then it is Asra. You can be chayav. Follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does the Rambam mean? So what does the Rambam mean, like I explained? There's still a few problems hanging here. I mean, well, one problem is that, what does it mean that, like, I explained in Sanhedrin? I mean, he didn't really explain all this in Sanhedrin, right? So I think he means, I think you just have to read it right. Which is that it means that the Hasra Safek is only considered Hasra when the Lav is Mefurash, like I explained in Sanhedrin. Well, he means, I'm putting in some words. But it's only Hasra Safek is only considered Hasra when the Lav is Mefurash. Well, what do I mean that the Lav is Mefurash? Where is there ever a Lav where it's Mefurash that it's on Safek? Like the case I explained in Hilchos Sanhedrin. He didn't explain in Sanhedrin that Hasra Safek is only Hasra if it's Mefurash. He didn't explain all that in Sanhedrin, but the Rambam here is setting down the principle that Hasra Safek is only Shma Hasra if it's a Lav which is intrinsically Hasra Safek. Like what kind of case? Like the case of Avinu Tegasei. And the case in Sanhedrin is only a case of Avinu Tegasei, because by Avinu Tegasei, that's the case where intrinsically it's the suffix in the law. So he doesn't mean, like I explained in Sanhedrin, that he explained this whole distinction in Sanhedrin. He means that in Sanhedrin he explained the case where the Lav is intrinsically a Baal Safik, which is the case of Avinu Tegasei. You follow me?
Yeah.
Can
you repeat that last point, please?
Yes. You understand the question. The question is that I'm going to explain it, Sanhedrin,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm saying is that the question is based on a certain reading of the text of the Rambam. And that reading is that the Rambam is saying is that Hasra Safek is only Shma Hasra if it's Mefurash in the Torah. Oh, you've never heard of this point before? I already explained this to you in El Sanhedrin. I already explained to you that you only say Hasra Safek Shma Hasra by Lav which is Mefurash in the Torah. And then you look in El Sanhedrin and you see he never explained that to you. And that's the Kasha. He never explained all that in El Sanhedrin. Right, that's the question, correct?
Right.
But my answering is that he doesn't mean that in Hilchos Sanhedrin he explained to you that this idea that Hasra Safek is only by Mefurash. He didn't do that. In Hilchos Sanhedrin he just gave you a case of Hasra Safek Shma Hasra. And that was the case of Avinu Tegasei. That's the only case he gave you. He didn't give you a universal principle of Hasra Safek Shma Hasra. He gave you one case, which is the case of Avinu Tegasei, and he says Hasra Safek Shma Hasra in that case. Right? But now in that case, that's a case where intrinsically, when the Torah gave the Lav, it was there's something built into the thing. Because, as I explained before. So what Rambam here is saying, he's saying that the principle here, that we only say on Sra Safek Shma Sra when the Lav is Mefurash, that it's on Safek. Like, what kind of Lav is Mefurash on Safek? Whoever heard of him, I'm filling in here. Whoever heard of a Lav was Mefurash on Safek. Oh, like the case I explained in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Look at the case in Hilchos Sanhedrin. That's the case where Mefurash says on Safek. The Lav is the Safek case. So he's referencing you there to see what he means by Mefurash that it's Safek. But he didn't explain over there that Hasra Safek is only Shema Hasra when it's Mefurash on Safek. That's what he's doing over here. But he's just saying, you may be wondering, what do I even mean that it's Mefurash? That it's Hasra Mefurash that it's Safek. Like the case over there, check it out, the case over there that God's saying. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, now, how you doing, Danny, there?
Yeah.
Following?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what I'm on, Morris and Al. You guys there? How's it going?
Yeah.
Question or no?
Nope.
Okay. So, there's another question, which is, is that, so now we're saying is, so is Shavua a lav which is an afurish that it's safeg or not? So of course, so far, based on what we're saying, is Shavua a lav which is an afurish that it's safeg, and therefore our source of is on saw, or is Shavua a shua shekel a lav which is not afurish, and therefore we say our source of is not on saw?
Yeah.
So which one is Shavua? Is Shavua so far? Is Shavua a case which is like it's mefurish in the car, and therefore it's like it's mefurish in the car that it's suffic, and therefore you say so suffic is on Shavua, or is based on so far is Shavua a case which is not mefurish that it's on suffic, and therefore it's not on Shavua? So far the case which we had, the Rambam says, the case where you make a Shavua, that someone else will eat the kikar, will eat the rat. And then the Rambam says that that's not, it's not a force in the car. Shavua is not a force in the car, that it's on something. So therefore you're not going to be say it's on something, it's not considered a Shavua. Right?
Yep.
The problem is that the case which the Rambam has with the two kikars, what you say is, I'm not going to eat this, if I eat this kikar, the small kikar, I'm not going to eat the big kikar. So then we say, that's the case, if you eat the big kikar, they warn him, and then that's the case of a saw something. And yet, the Rambam says, you're chayiv in that case. So well, why don't you say a saw something is not considered a saw? Because Shavua is a lav, which is not a force in the car. But yet the Rambam, the Gemara says that's the case of a saw something. The Rambam doesn't, but the Gemara does. And the Rambam says, Yechai Malchus for that case. So why isn't that a Mamanusha? Is Shavua a lav which is, is Rambam considering Shavua a lav which is Mephorish Nekah? Is he considering a lav which is not Mephorish Nekah? You follow my question?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of sounds like you're saying that the basic principle is Mephorish Nekah, but in terms of that case where you swear that others will not eat, that's not mefurish in the crow. That type of situation is not mefurish in the crow.
Right, but remember, the way I'm learning mefurish in the crow means not that the situation, that the case is mefurish in the crow, but it's mefurish in the crow that it's on suffix. Like in Lavin, it's got to say it's mefurish in the crow, that the lav intrinsically has suffix built into it.
Right.
So and Shavua, it would seem that it doesn't have that built into it. It's only because Nitzgah say that it has that built into it. And that's why the case where you make the Shavua that others won't eat it, there's nothing to do with that, because you're just making a Shavua that others won't eat it. There's no built-in suffix in love of, in the love of Shavua. So the question is how do you just say that a certain type of Shavua case is armor force, so it is armor force? I mean, is the lav of Shavua the kind which is mefurish or the kind which is not mefurish? Right?
Yep.
Okay, so let's leave that as a question. Hopefully we'll take that up hopefully tomorrow. And then also a question we have to take up is after we get through with this, and I also want to review this tomorrow. I know it's hard for me to do on the phone. I have to think over the points and, and see if you follow what I'm saying here. But, because I'll answer this once, I don't think you'll fully appreciate this thing until you fully, get the other thing. But I want to take that up, and then the next thing I want to take up is also back to our case. Throwing it off the wall. What's Avi Moskana about why this is or is not a Hashra Safik? And again, like we said on the surface, it has nothing to do with Hashra Safik. So, that's a problem which you have to deal with also. At the back and forth there. You can look at the other Ma. Network Ma. Okay, and then, by the way, next week is a little busy for me. I have, going on a contact conference in Florida. I'm not going to be giving. The only day I plan to give is Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think I'm going to be out. But I hope to give tomorrow, and I hope to give on Monday. So, hopefully we should get done with